All right, so looks like everyone's been really digging into King David. All the stuff you sent from Dr. August Conkle's lectures about Chronicles. It's really fascinating stuff.
Absolutely.
So are we ready to kind of like dive into
Yeah, let's do it.
how Chronicles tells David's story?
Let's take a deep dive.
Yeah, a deep
I
dive. This
like
is my.
that. It's not just another rehash of David's life. It's
Yeah.
like it's the chronicler's own spin on it, you
Right.
know, for his specific audience and time period.
So that's what I think is so cool about this. Dr. Conkle points out that it's way different from how David's rise to power is described in Samuel, for example.
Yes, very different.
So what is the chronicler trying to do differently here?
He's laser focused on proving that David was the chosen king,
Well,
God's ultimate pick to establish his kingdom.
okay.
He even goes as far as saying that David is more important than Moses.
Hold on. More important than Moses. What makes him think that?
Well, the chronicler uses this phrase, a man after God's own heart,
Okay.
to describe David.
Okay.
But the key here is that it's not about David choosing God. It's about God choosing David
Right.
for a very specific
So
purpose.
it's not just about David being a good guy, it's about him fitting into this bigger plan.
Exactly.
Play.
And to really drive this point home,
Yeah.
the chronicler uses the story of King Saul,
Right.
David's predecessor, as a
Right,
contrast.
like showing what not to do
Totally.
if you want God on your side.
Exactly.
So what did Saul do that was so bad?
Well, his downfall boils down to this word mal,
Okay.
which translates to unfaithfulness.
Okay.
And it's not just about like messing up or breaking specific rules.
Right.
It's this deeper lack of trust in God.
So how does his unfaithfulness play out in the story?
Well, one example is when Saul, in desperation,
Yeah.
seeks guidance from a necromancer, someone who communicates with the dead.
Right. Yeah, going straight to the source instead of trusting God's plan.
It was a huge taboo
Yeah.
in the Bible because it showed Saul turning away from God for answers.
That makes you think about what faithfulness really means, right? Not just avoiding specific actions,
That's a heart issue.
but a deeper trust.
Absolutely a deeper trust.
So by showing this like stark contrast between Saul's unfaithfulness and David's chosen status, the chronicler is setting up this powerful message about what it really means to be in line with God's will. So it's
Absolutely.
not just about David being a great leader,
Right.
it's about him embodying this deep trust and connection that
Totally.
Saul lacked.
Exactly. And this contrast becomes even more striking
Yeah.
when we look at how the chronicler describes David actually taking the throne.
Right, because he skips over all of the messy stuff in Samuel, like the years-long wait and all the conflicts.
All the drama.
Yeah.
He just presents David as being instantly affirmed as king.
Because he's saying this was meant to be, no question about it.
No drama, no opposition,
Yeah.
just instant recognition from a unified Israel.
Wow.
The chronicler wants to show this smooth transition
Okay.
to emphasize that David's kingship was God's plan all along.
And he also emphasizes this by like hammering home the widespread support that David enjoyed.
Yes, he does.
He lists all these groups of warriors from different regions that rally behind David.
He lists all these warriors from Ziklag, Adullam, Hebron.
So it's not enough that God chose David. The chronicler wants to show that the people were fully on board too. Okay, so remember in Samuel, it says only the tribe of Judah initially chose David, but the chronicler claims that all of Israel was involved
All 12 tribes.
in his coronation. Interesting. So he's tweaking the narrative to solidify David's claim and to show this united front behind him.
It's all part of his grand scheme
Okay.
to present David as the ultimate king, the
Okay.
fulfillment of God's promises.
So the chronicler is definitely shaping this story to make a point. He's chosen his details carefully.
He's a careful curator of this material.
Right, and this careful curation continues as he describes David's conquest of Jerusalem
Yes, it does.
and the events that follow.
That's right.
So tell me more about how that plays out. What's
Wrong.
different about his version of the story?
Well, first of all, he downplays the details of the battle itself.
Okay.
He's less interested in the how of a conquest
Right.
and more focused on the fact that it happened.
Right. So it's like he's saying David conquering Jerusalem.
Right.
Of course, it was God's plan all along. So we
Exactly.
don't need to go into the nitty-gritty of the fight itself.
That's right.
But then he includes this intriguing little story about David's warriors risking their lives during a Philistine attack.
Right.
To bring him water from a well.
Yes, that's right.
It seems like such a small detail.
Right.
Why include that?
It's not about the water itself. It's about the incredible loyalty and devotion.
Okay.
David inspired in his men.
Okay.
They were willing to risk their lives.
Right.
For something as simple as a drink of water for their king.
So it's a subtle way of showing.
Right.
That David wasn't just a king because God said so,
mm-hmm.
but because he was someone that people genuinely followed and respected.
Absolutely.
He was a leader of the people.
And this point is driven home even further when the chronicler describes
yes.
how Israel becomes truly unified under David's rule.
Absolutely.
He has this really powerful line.
Yeah, what is it?
It says, "We are yours, O David, and we have a covenant with you."
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful.
Right.
Especially Whoa. Considering that in Samuel, David faces rebellions later on.
Right.
It's like the chronicler is presenting this ideal version of David's reign with everyone united behind him.
So for him, this is the climax of the story so far. Okay. Under David, Israel is finally unified and fulfilling God's promise.
He brought it all together. It's interesting how he's weaving all these details together to create this larger-than-life image of David.
Mm-hmm.
Highlighting his special connection with God.
Yes.
His strength as a leader
mm-hmm.
and the way he brought everyone together.
Yeah. What stands out to you so far about how he's presenting David?
I think what really strikes me is how intentional he is with every detail.
Yeah.
He's not just telling a story.
Right.
He's crafting an argument for why David was the ultimate king.
Yeah, it's a great observation.
Right.
And this strategy will become even more apparent as we explore other facets of David's reign according to Chronicles.
All right, so let's keep diving in.
Let's do it.
This is getting good.
I know, I'm excited. Yeah, it really is fascinating how the chronicler shapes the narrative.
Right.
It makes you wonder about his motivations, you know?
Yeah.
Remember, he's writing centuries after David's reign.
Right.
During, like, the Persian period.
Right, and things were pretty bleak for the Israelites then, right?
Exactly.
Exile, destruction of the temple.
Yeah. It wasn't exactly a golden age.
Not a great time.
So by highlighting David's unified kingdom and God's promises, the chronicler might have been trying to inspire his audience.
Okay.
Give them hope that a similar restoration was possible.
Right. So it's not just about looking back. It's about using the past to fuel hope for the future.
Absolutely.
Clever.
Yeah.
And one of the ways he does this is by emphasizing David's journey from humble shepherd to this powerful king.
That's right. The classic anyone can make it story.
Right. But how does the chronicler put his own spin on it?
Wow.
Is it really all about sheep and slingshots?
He focuses less on David's early life.
Okay.
And more on like his military achievements and leadership skills.
So it's more about David the warrior king.
Yes.
Than David the shepherd boy.
Exactly.
What's the point of that emphasis?
It's about presenting David as a strong leader who can unite and defend his people.
Okay.
Someone who brings stability and security after the turmoil of Saul and the exile. Mm. The Israelites needed a leader like that.
I can see why that would resonate with the audience.
Right.
They were probably craving that sense of order and protection.
Absolutely.
And to really drive this point home.
Yes.
The chronicler goes into detail about David's victories.
Mm-hmm.
His strategic brilliance.
Yes.
And his unwavering faith in God.
Yes.
He even includes lists of David's mighty warriors.
He does.
Showcasing the strength of his army.
Right. It's like he's saying, look, this guy commanded a serious force. He was the real deal.
Yeah.
And those lists aren't just random names.
Okay.
They represent different regions and tribes.
Right.
Further solidifying that image of David as the unifying force that brought all of Israel together.
So even the military details are carefully chosen.
Yes.
To reinforce this idea of national unity.
Absolutely.
Okay. And this focus on unity under David extends to how the chronicler portrays his religious reforms.
Right.
Right. David wasn't just a military leader.
Right.
He was also a deeply religious figure.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned in your notes that you're interested in how the chronicler presents this side of him.
Yes. He really highlights David's role in establishing Jerusalem as the religious center of Israel.
Okay.
He describes David's meticulous preparations for building the temple.
Right.
How he organized the Levites and priests.
Wait, hold on. Can you back up for a second and explain who the Levites are?
Of course.
Because not everyone listening might be familiar with that.
So the Levites were a tribe in ancient Israel.
Okay.
Specifically designated for religious service.
Right.
They assisted the priests.
Okay.
Took care of the temple and played music during religious ceremonies.
Okay, so they were like the essential support staff for everything religious.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So David organized them.
Yeah. And what else?
And the chronicler also highlights David's passion for composing songs, which were songs and poems of praise and worship.
Right.
He portrays David as a king deeply concerned with God and proper worship.
So he's showing David leading by example, not just in terms of military might.
That's right.
But also in religious devotion.
Yes, and by associating David so closely with the temple and its rituals,
right,
the chronicler is subtly legitimizing the religious practices of his own time.
Okay.
You know, after the temple had been rebuilt.
So it's like he's saying, look, King David cared about this stuff, so should we?
Exactly. He's drawing parallels between David's time and his own.
Right.
Reinforcing the importance of the temple and the continuation of tradition.
Yeah.
And by doing this, he's subtly linking the Davidic dynasty with the temple, suggesting they're like the twin pillars of Israel's identity.
So he's weaving together history, religion, and even a bit of politics here.
Absolutely. But there's one more layer the chronicler adds to David's portrayal.
Okay.
And that's his humanity.
Humanity. But I thought he was being presented as this almost superhuman figure.
Right.
How does that fit in?
Well, alongside all the achievements,
yeah,
the chronicler includes stories about David's mistakes, moments of doubt, even sins.
Interesting. So it's not just a glowing, perfect portrait.
Exactly. He doesn't shy away from showing David's flaws.
Right. It's easier to relate to someone who isn't perfect.
Right.
And maybe it makes their successes even more impressive.
Precisely. And it also shows that God can use even flawed people to accomplish great things.
Right.
It's a message of hope and redemption.
Yeah.
Which would have resonated with the chronicler's audience who were struggling to rebuild their lives after the exile.
So it's like he's saying, look, even David messed up. But God still used him in amazing ways.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be perfect to be chosen or do great things.
Absolutely. And that's what makes the chronicler's portrayal of David so compelling.
Right.
It's not just a historical account.
Mm.
It's a message of hope, inspiration, and redemption.
Yeah.
For a people longing for restoration.
So it sounds like the chronicler is using David's story to say something bigger.
Yes.
About God's faithfulness, even when things look pretty grim.
Exactly. He's reminding his audience that God is always at work, even when it's hard to see.
That's a message that transcends time, for sure.
Right.
So we've got David as chosen king, unifier, warrior, religious reformer, flawed human.
Mm-hmm.
What else does the chronicler focus on to get his message across?
Well, he places a lot of emphasis on the Ark of the Covenant.
Ah, yes, the Ark.
The Ark.
That sacred chest with the Ten Commandments.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
In Israeli history.
So how does the chronicler use this symbol to connect with his audience?
He goes into great detail about David bringing the Ark to Jerusalem.
Okay.
Describing preparations, the procession, the celebrations.
Yeah.
It's like he's turning it into this epic event that defines David's reign.
So it's like he's saying this is a turning point. God's presence is now firmly established in Jerusalem thanks to David.
Precisely. And by doing so,
yeah,
he's further cementing the importance of Jerusalem as the religious center of Israel.
Right.
He's saying, this is where God dwells. This is the heart of our faith.
And it's a powerful statement about the sacredness of Jerusalem. Yes, especially after its destruction and rebuilding.
Absolutely. And he takes it a step further by describing David's plans to build a permanent temple for the Ark in Jerusalem.
Right. The temple that Solomon eventually built.
Right.
But wait, if Solomon built it, why is David getting all the credit?
The chronicler makes it clear that it was David's vision.
Okay.
He planned it. He gathered materials. He designed it.
Mm-hmm.
He even instructed Solomon on how to build it.
So even though David didn't lay a single brick,
right,
the chronicler is presenting him as like the mastermind behind the temple.
Exactly.
What's the significance of that?
It reinforces the idea that David was more than just a warrior.
Okay.
He was a pious and visionary leader.
Okay.
Who understood the importance of creating a fitting dwelling place for God.
Right.
It's almost like he's laying the spiritual foundation
yeah.
for Solomon's reign and the future of Israel.
And I bet the chronicler is using this to legitimize the importance of the temple.
Yes.
For his own audience who are worshiping in the rebuilt temple.
Exactly. He's drawing a direct line from David's vision to the present.
Right.
Saying this is part of our heritage, is something even King David prioritized.
It's really masterful how he's weaving together these historical details
mm-hmm.
with his own message for his audience.
He is.
What are your thoughts on how he's using the Ark and the temple so far?
Wow.
I mean, I'm struck by how he's connecting them to this larger theme of God's presence and promise.
Yes.
It's not just about buildings and rituals.
Right.
It's about something much deeper and more enduring.
That's a great point. And this theme will continue to play out as we explore the rest of the chronicler's account of David's reign.
All right. Are you ready to keep going?
Absolutely. I'm hooked. Let's see what other surprises the chronicler has in store for us.
Yeah, it's amazing how the chronicler uses all these symbols and stories to get his message across.
It is. It's like he's writing a coded message for his audience.
Right. And one of the key things he's trying to communicate is the importance of David's legacy.
That's right.
Legacy, you mean like how he's remembered after his death.
His impact on the future.
What's so special about that?
Well, the chronicler doesn't just end his account with David's death.
Right.
He goes on to show how David's reign shaped the future of Israel.
Okay.
He emphasizes the continuation of the Davidic dynasty.
Okay.
The impact of David's religious reforms and his lasting military achievements.
So it's about connecting the past to the present and even the future.
Absolutely.
But why would that be so important for his audience?
You know,
living under Persian rule.
Remember, they were struggling to rebuild their lives and their identity after the exile.
Right.
So the chronicler is offering them a message of hope and reassurance.
Okay.
He's saying, look, even though things are tough now, remember the legacy of David.
Right.
The promises God made to him and his descendants.
Right.
Those promises are still valid and can still shape our future.
So it's like he's saying, don't lose hope. Mm-hmm. God's plan is still unfolding, even if it doesn't look like it right now.
Exactly. And he reinforces this message by showing how David's legacy influenced his successors.
Okay.
Solomon built on David's foundation.
Okay.
Later kings tried to emulate his piety and leadership.
Right.
Even during times of decline.
Yeah.
The memory of David served as a source of inspiration.
So it's not just about David as an individual.
Right.
It's about the ripple effects of his reign.
Exactly.
How his actions shaped the course of Israelite history.
Absolutely. And by highlighting this,
right,
the chronicler is subtly linking the future of Israel to the Davidic dynasty.
Okay.
It's like he's saying, as long as we stay true to the covenant God made with David, we can be confident in God's continued blessings and protection.
So it's both a challenge and an encouragement to his audience.
That's right.
To live up to the example set by their ancestors and trust in God's faithfulness.
Absolutely.
And you know, we've talked a lot about the chronicler's religious message.
We have.
But we can't ignore the political context.
Right.
He was writing in.
Of course.
And I'm kind of curious about
how
that might be playing into this portrayal of David.
Well, he's very deliberate in emphasizing David's legitimate claim to the throne.
Okay, how so?
He highlights his lineage.
Okay.
His anointing by Samuel.
Right.
The widespread support he had from all the tribes.
So it's like he's trying to shut down any doubts.
Yes.
About David's right to rule.
Exactly.
But why would that be necessary centuries later?
Well, because during the Persian period,
the
legitimacy of the Davidic dynasty might have been questioned.
Right.
After all the kingdom had fallen, the temple was destroyed.
Yeah. Things weren't going great.
The people were exiled.
Right.
It wasn't a good time to be an Israelite.
So the chronicler is reminding everyone, like, hey, David was the real deal. God chose him. The people chose him. And his line is still the rightful one.
Exactly. And by showcasing David's piety, wisdom, and obedience to God's law, he's also setting a standard for future rulers.
No.
It's like he's saying, this is what a good king looks like. Follow David's example if you want to succeed.
So it's almost like a guidebook for good governance.
It's the great way to put it.
Right. Based on religious principles and a strong connection to God.
Absolutely. And this message would have been particularly relevant
for
the Israelites living under foreign rule.
Okay.
By presenting David as a model.
Yeah.
The chronicler is encouraging them to stay true to their own traditions.
Okay.
And resist assimilation into Persian culture.
So it's a reminder of their unique identity, their special relationship with God.
Yes.
And their hope for future restoration.
Exactly. And even though he acknowledges the failures of David and his successors,
right,
the chronicler never loses sight of God's ultimate plan.
So it's a message of hope woven throughout the entire book.
It is.
It's like, yes, we've been through tough times, but God is still faithful and his promises will be fulfilled.
Precisely. And that message resonates even today. We may face challenges and setbacks, but we can take comfort in knowing that God is at work,
right,
guiding history toward his ultimate goal.
It's a powerful reminder that even in the darkest of times, there's always hope and reason to trust in God's faithfulness and love.
That, I think, is the enduring legacy of King David and the powerful message of the Book of Chronicles.
Yeah.
It's a story that continues to inspire, challenge, and offer hope to people across centuries.
Wow, we've covered so much ground in this deep dive.
We have.
It's amazing how much we can learn from a text that was written so long ago.
It's been a pleasure exploring the chronicler's unique perspective on King David with you.
Likewise.
I hope this inspires you to keep digging into this fascinating book and discover even more for yourself.
I definitely will. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey.
My pleasure.
Until next time, keep those brains buzzing.